So our scripture lesson today is from Matthew chapter 22 and verses 34 through 40, and it's the greatest commandment. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all law and prophets." And so it's really two things that we're being asked to do here. The first one is to love God. And how many of you love God? How many of you really love God? Okay, because there's a difference. I mean, sometimes we say, "Oh, we love that," or "We love this. I love meatloaf, but I don't love meatloaf like I love God." So we have these different kinds of love that we talk about, and we kind of interchange them. And so what I want you to really think about today is, when we talk about loving God and loving others, what does that really mean? So it's a total, complete love. It's all-encompassing. So I put down there at the bottom, it dominates all we do. So the way that we can tell, and a lot of times it's how we react with other people and how we do things. So last night, my parents and I went out to eat. So I know I'm older, but you can guess they're older. It's the way it works. So we ate dinner at 4 o'clock. It's a little early for me, but that's when they wanted to go. And so I had to drop something off here at the church, and I thought, well, I'll just call them and see if they want me to pick them up, because they're early 90s and mid 80s. And so I called and I said, "Hey, if you want me to, I'll just come by and pick you guys up." And they said, "Well, that'd be really great," because they just live on the east side of Muncie. So I just went back that way. We went to Texas Roadhouse, really good pickled onion things last night as an appetizer. Little salty, highly recommend them though. But you know what? I loved them, but I didn't love them like I love God. It's a different kind of love. And so it dominates all we do, our emotions. So if you're in love with God, when somebody does something that's gonna upset you, like cut you off in traffic, your first reaction wouldn't be to give them some kind of a hand sign, to say something about them or their ancestry. That's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to try to find a way to love that person. So I'm coming back from Franklin, Indiana on Friday, just before it started pouring down raining, and there's a guy that comes up to me. We're on 465, he's going 80, 85. It's in the left lane, middle lane, right lane, right lane, middle lane, left lane, left lane, middle lane, right lane, going 80, zipping in and out. It would have been hard to love him at that instant, but I kind of offered a prayer for him because I figured he was going to hit somebody the way he was traveling. I don't know what was in such a big hurry that he had to get there, because we were all going 70. In a 55, yes, I was speeding, sorry, but it was either that or be run over. But when people do those kind of things around you, sometimes it's hard to love them. So that love for God that we're talking about, it directs our thoughts. It keeps us on the right path. So I played in a golf tournament this week. I don't know if you guys have ever been around people from the Chicago region of Indiana. I have cousins that live up in Whiting and that area. Their conversation, just in a normal conversation, is so different than what we have around here, because they use more four-letter words and as adjectives and nouns and things. I heard more in 118 holes of golf than I've heard the whole rest of the year. And they just don't think anything about it. It's the way they talk. So how can we love people that we don't really care for the way they're behaving? And sometimes it's hard to do that. But God's love allows us to direct our thoughts in a way that we can do that. And in all of our actions in life towards God. So if you find yourself doing something, so this sermon kind of goes with last week's sermon a little bit. If you find yourself doing something that is not a benefit in your relationship to the Lord, then you probably need to rethink it, because it's probably something likely something you shouldn't be doing. And so when we talk about this love of God, it's not enough to just say, oh yes, I love God. How do you show it? How do you make that work? So I've got a few kind of suggestions, things for you guys to think about. So when we have love for others, remember that God is always first and others are second. Now, at Yorktown, I believe it was Steve Loft talked about this one time, and he went a step further where he said, you have to love God more than you love your children. Now that made my wife bristle. She goes, that is just not. I said, you have to understand what he's saying. If you can't love God, then how are you going to really love your children? But that's hard for some people because your children are right there. They're tangible where God is around us, but it's not God that we physically touch. And so when we talk about love for others, God has to be first, but that's first in everything. And sometimes that's hard for us. You need to love God before you can love others. If you think about people in your life that just don't seem that they have love for anybody, they're very unlikely to have God in their lives. It's hard for somebody to have the Lord in your life and be that angry and upset with everybody around them. So then the second part of this is the results of lack of love. So we become angry at those who aren't able to be taught. Now, when my youngest one was taking math, I think I'm a pretty good math person. I could not understand why she could not understand. And so when her son, our grandson, started school, smart, now he asks a whole bunch of questions all the time, got to be on your toes, we were talking about math. And he wasn't getting it. And so I was trying to explain to him a different way. And she said to me, so she's 34 now, 34, I'm sticking with that number. She said to me, well, don't be yelling at him like you yelled at me when we did math. And I said, I did not yell at you. She goes, yes, you did. And I said, well, how did I yell? You would say, just think it through, which didn't mean anything to me because if I could have thought it through, I wouldn't have been there asking for your help to start with. And so it's how we love, it's, you know, we can get angry because we don't understand that people aren't able to get it. So I don't know if I've told you guys this before, but to become a local pastor, I had to take a psychological test. And I passed it twice, I might want to point out. I passed it twice, so I'm not crazy. Just like Big Bang Theory, where Sheldon says he's not crazy because he's been tested. I've been tested twice, I passed it both times. But one of the things that it showed both times that I have a problem with is, if people do things in their life and it creates a problem and they want to say, well, I don't know why I'm in this situation, I am not very empathetic towards them because clearly, so I'll give you an example. Okay, I'll use my grandma as an example. She lived in Chicago most of her adult life in the South Side, about 5 miles from the steel mill area. You could literally see the sky. Okay? She smoked most of her younger life. In her older age, she had emphysema, and really that's what killed her, but she lived to be 94, but she had a lot of problems going in and out of the hospital. So one day I was in the hospital room with her, the doctor comes in, and he said, we're just having a really hard time clearing up this pneumonia stuff, and he said, did you smoke when you were younger? And she goes, some. I went, some. And the doctor said, did she smoke a lot? And she went, no. And I must have made a face because he said, well, maybe I should be talking to your grandson instead of you because I think I'd get a better answer. She goes, okay, I smoked and I smoked a lot. Is everybody happy now? And so for her, she had these health issues when she was older, but it was a result of her smoke. Part of it was where she lived, but part of it was because of the action she took. For me, it is hard for me to overcome when somebody does something and then is surprised when there's an effect from it. And so it's something I have to work again. But for me, I really have to let God's love, enter me there when I'm talking with somebody that's doing that. If you have somebody that gambles all the time and they wonder why they don't have any money, I think those two things probably go together, but it can show up in those ways. And so that's hard for me. Without God's love, sometimes it's hard for us to understand how people are making progress, because they're just not going as fast as we think they should. And so I should have said cold to those who are cold and callous, but those people that were around that aren't very nice, does anyone have someone that you're around that's not very nice sometimes? Okay, yeah. Pretty much everybody does. The problem is if you don't raise your hand, then that means you might be the person, but just saying. But we all have people that we're around sometimes that just aren't very nice to be around. And so the question is, can you allow God's love to change you in such a way that you can still find love for them? Because almost everyone has someone in their life like that, that's hard to love. So for me, my sister is hard for me to love. She was always a little mean. They're only like a year and a half different in age. We are really different in a lot of ways. And so it's a struggle for me. And I don't think she would be surprised to hear that she's a struggle for me. We're just a lot different. And she can be kind of ornery sometimes. And we're like opposites. We're polar opposites. That's probably part of the problem. So how can we work God into this? Now, before we get to this last part, so I was reading book for class this week, and the last chapter was about love for God. And I said, all right, he's going to talk about love for God, and that's what my scripture is going to be this week. And so one of the things he talked about was all the violence over the centuries between Christians, Jews, and Islam. Because he said you had the Crusades back in the 1400s or whenever that was. You had what happened with the world in World War II, where the Jews were so decimated by the way they were treated and killed. And now you have the violence between Islam and Christians and all that that goes on. And so, and I don't remember reading this. The book was written in 2014. It talked about a conference in 2007 that came from the Islam community. It was addressed back to the Jewish community and Christians saying, hey, we've got to figure out a way to get along, to be together in the world. Now, the one thing that we have in common is we all have the same God. Now, we have arguments between, you know, how that God worked and whether Jesus is really a Messiah and all that stuff. But he said, let's not talk about what we have differences. Let's talk about what we have in common. We all have the same God that we love and care for. So the question is, if you have a Jewish friend, if you have a friend who follows Islam, can you love them? Or immediately, do you find some kind of way to say, oh, well, I can't love them because they're Jewish? Is God not big enough in your heart to show you that love? And so this would have been 15 years ago, probably. But at Yorktown, we did a Bible study, and I never can remember what it's called, but it's about, it's a 34-week Bible study, discipleship. But it's like a 34-week Bible study, and we were Old Testament study, and we decided we would go to the Jewish synagogue in Muncie for a service on a Friday night. And we met met their rabbi. It was a young lady. That was kind of a surprise for me. And they don't really have a rabbi that's here all the time, at that time anyway. And as far as I know, they still do it this way. There's a center in Cincinnati, and they send up a student that watches over the synagogue as long as he or she's in the area. And so we met her ahead of time. She gave us an idea of what the service was going to be like, what was going to happen, just so we'd know. She told everyone when they came, because there's like 20 of us, we were made up like half the congregation that day because it's pretty small, and she told everybody why we were there. And so then afterwards, they had a little get-together, and they always have a light meal. It was vegetables, little finger sandwiches, that kind of stuff. And so as we were walking out, Brian Elliott, who's since passed away, was a sheriff's deputy, was there in uniform. And I said, Brian, why are you here? And he said, well, the church hires a sheriff's deputy to be here every Friday night because they're afraid there'll be violence against them. And I said, have they had problems? He said, they've had some damage where people have damaged their synagogue. But he said, nothing where someone's come in and tried to do something. About the same time, I had the Jewish center in the north side of Indianapolis was a customer, and they had a daycare there. And when I went there to see them, you had to go, it's only one drive to get down there. And as I came by, there was a sheriff's car there. And he stopped me and asked me what I was doing, checked my ID and stuff. So when I got inside and met with the people that were in charge of the center, I said, why is the sheriff's deputy there? She said, well, because we have a daycare, we're afraid there might be violence against the children. And so we have a policeman there all the time. So we've had instances since then where people have entered churches and caused just violent, horrific acts. But how could you love God and do any of those things? Whether you were a Christian, did it to a Christian church, whether you decided somehow that you needed to attack people because of their faith because they were Jewish or Islam. How could you love God and still be able to do that? So I would be very surprised if anybody here did any of those kind of attacks, but you might know someone that has that kind of violence in them. And you could ask them, do you love God? And if they say, yes, I love God, then I don't understand how you can harm people like that. And although the synagogue here at Muncie or the one in Indianapolis hasn't had any issues that I know of, it's a concern. And so that constant thought of fear that someone might harm you just because of your religion, as Christians in the United States, we just don't see that. I mean, people can talk about what happens here or there. Relative to the rest of the world, it doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. And so if we really allow God in our hearts and we really, really love him, we not only won't do any of those things, we'll do everything we can to stop anyone who's thinking about them or talks to us about those things, where we have a chance to say, if you really love God, how can you hate someone you don't even know that much? That just because of the religion. So when I say love of others, others is others, not just some others, it's all others. And some others are easier to love than other others. And you guys all know what I'm talking about. Because there's someone in your life that's hard to love. Or you've met them once. And you go, man, guy's having a bad day. Or is every day a bad day? And so when that happens, it's not for us to get angry or get perturbed or want to try to get even, like we talked about last week. It's to find a way of loving them. And so the last thing I want to talk about is how that love creates practical service for others. So if we love God and we love others, there's things that we can do in our lives to help people. So I talked about giving blood the other day. I don't even know who I'm helping. But there are a few people up there that are under 100 pounds. I think everybody down here is pretty good on the weight limit. And everybody down here, well, there's a couple back there that might not be. And there's a couple that hit mostly over the 18. So generally, you've got a chance to give to help people. And it's practical service because it helps everybody. And so whether you're in a Kiwanis Club or Lions Club, whatever you decide to do, there's ways to help people. If you want to give money to the, where's Steve hiding at? Hey, Steve. Hurry up. Speed it up. I know your age. So what's the group called that collects money to help people that are in need in the church?
Family
Services?
Family Assistant.
Family Assistant. You could always make a donation to that. Or better yet, you could go back to Steve and say, hey, Steve, do you need any help with like delivering things or picking up things, those kind of stuff? It's practical service that shows how God's love in your heart works for others. You might go to Anita and say, hey, when you're going to take those to the post office, do you need somebody to help you? Or could I meet you at church and carry all that stuff out? I don't know if you have to wrap them anymore or not.
Some
have to be wrapped. You wouldn't want me at the wrapping party. It's ugly. It's really ugly. But if you're moderately good at wrapping, there's a chance. But we have these opportunities to show God's love by helping people. Sometimes it's easy as just opening a door for somebody. If you get somebody, my Kiwanis Club rings bells for the Salvation Army, which they're probably really going to struggle this year because they have mostly done that at the malls and places like that. And people are not going to places like that. They're starting about 3 weeks early. The first time we ring, I think, is like November the 16th. So when you walk past one, thank the people for doing it. Or you can go online to ringthebells.com and sign up and ring your own in 2-hour shifts. I always take them all because they think I'm a genius because we're inside. Just saying. Could be outside if you want to be, but sometimes it's cold and rainy. But let God's love drive you to do things for others. Let God's love show in what you do for the world. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we're so grateful that we can come together this day. Be with all of us as we go out into your world. Let us show your love to all those that we come in contact with, whether it's family, friends, someone we've never met before, someone we'll never see again. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen.